Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hope you all had a great Christmas, and as you're gearing up for the new year, that things are going well. Grace and peace to you this morning. I pray that as you close out this year, you're able to look back and just see the hand of God moving in your lives and just working things in your lives. And sometimes maybe uncomfortable, but He brings about good things and He develops character in us. I was thinking about this message and about what's coming up and how Christmas Day, I was talking to people even today, like, well, Christmas Day is done. Like, radios aren't playing music anymore, and just, it's like, well, it's over, move on. And I'm like, and someone asked, are we going to turn the lights on in here today? Yeah, we're turning the lights on in here today. There's still, Christmas goes on, and so I love it. But I was thinking about gifts, and maybe if you're like me, you've got new things as gifts. You got new clothes as gifts. But now comes the dilemma. What do I do with my old clothes? And for some of you, you're like, I got a new flannel. This is awesome, but I really like my old flannel. I have a lot of memories with my old flannel. I remember when I got this stain and the smells of my old flannel. I don't want to get rid of my old flannel, but I got the new one, and I want to use both. And so you're kind of stuck and torn, and you don't know what to do. And other ones of you, you're like, there's not really room in my closet for the new clothes. That's my predicament. We have like two closets. My wife has three quarters of them, and I've got this little corner over here. And so I have to look at like, well, like practically, I can't fit new things in. And some of you are just like, hey, man, out with the old, in with the new. Let's do it. And you replace those old clothes. But we have this dilemma of what do we do with our new stuff. Likewise, we're coming up to New Year's. And New Year's, we look at what this last year was like, and we look ahead to 2025. What do I want to change? What do I want to see different in my life? I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be more confident. I'm going to exercise. So good for you if you do that. About 10 or 15 years ago, I made my last resolution because I'm like, this is silly. So I don't ever keep those. So I made and kept my last resolution, which was to never make a New Year's resolution again. And so far, 15 years on, I'm doing good. I don't need a new year to motivate change in my life. If God is working in my heart, I should work towards that and not wait till a point in time to do that. If something needs fixing, let's fix it now. Amen. And so that's what I want to talk about today as we look at the communion time, this Lord's Supper and the bread and the juice, and not just the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but what God has done through that death and resurrection. That God makes us a new us. He makes us a new us. We're different than what we were before. And so I'm reminded that through faith in Christ, God, if you will, He gives us new clothes. He changes us and He makes us new. Because you and I, we've kind of made a mess of everything in our lives. We do some good things, but we do some not so good things. And we choose sin over choosing God's ways. And you don't need me to tell you that we're broken. I know that I'm broken. I don't need to remind you that you're broken. We kind of all know that. And the Bible lets us know that. The problem is we try and fix what's broken on our own. And you and I can't do that. We don't have the right tools, we don't have the right parts, we don't have access to the things that we need to be made new again. And so we're left trying to fix our broken things by taking out the broken parts and replacing them with more broken parts. And it doesn't work. And maybe that's the cycle that you've been in. It doesn't take a mechanic or a doctor to tell you, you can't take out a bad transmission and put in another bad transmission. The car won't work that way. Like, duh, like, I know, but so what do we do with that? And that's what I want to look at today is how God makes us new and the changes that He makes in our life and just the joy of having faith in Christ and following Him. And as we come to this table and celebrate what it is God has done, and kind of our bottom line for today is this, and you can think about it. We had a problem with our printers this morning that they just printed blank pages. So we thought, well, we're just going to go with it. But our bottom line this morning is this. Without God renewing us, our struggles will continue to define us rather than refine us. Without God renewing us, our struggles, our challenges, our brokenness in life is just going to continue to define who we are, whereas God wants to refine who we are. And that's the process of what we want to talk about today. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, as we get ready to read from God's Word. I want to pray for our time before we jump into God's Word, and then we'll keep standing as I read. But won't you pray with me, church? God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for another year, Lord. Lots of memories, lots of good things, and lots of hard things, but the truth of your faithfulness through every one of those things. And so, God, even as we come today to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of the work you do in us. And so, God, as we come to your word, Lord, would your Spirit just open our hearts and minds to the things you need to tell us this morning? Even myself, even as preparing this, God, speak to me and speak to all of us. We invite you to be Lord in this place. May your word sharpen us and refine us, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read God's word this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. You can have a seat, church. What a great passage. And there's so much going on in there. And there's this talk of a ministry of reconciliation that God wants to use us to carry out his message to the rest of the world around us. But before we can get there, we have to be reconciled to God. And we're reconciled to God through faith in Christ. And even verse 21 hints at, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And because we put our faith in that, God has made us a new creation. Amen. And understand the verbs in there are not something that's talking about the future. It's talking about now. It's talking about done. The old has passed away. When you put your faith in Christ, the old is gone. And the new has come. We're not waiting for the new. The new is now. Amen. It's this beautiful verse. And you might think, well, why do I still struggle with sin and why all these things? That's another sermon for another time. But what I want to tell you is we're new. When we put our faith in Christ, we are new in God. And one of the things I want to talk about today, the first point is this, that we have a new heart. God gives us a new heart. And that's a powerful reminder in this passage. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Anybody. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you live in the world or what your ethnicity is. Anyone who puts their faith in Christ is a new creation. Amen? Amen. Who? Anyone, right? Anyone. Anyone who does this, that's God's invitation to us. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you're at. God wants to make you a new creation. And Paul has this thing where he refers to us in Christ. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? And really, it comes to this understanding that we are sinners and we're sinful. And we do some good things, but we make a mess of a lot of things. We obey God sometimes, maybe intentionally, maybe sometimes accidentally. But there are other times where we choose just to seek our own pleasures out. And it's being in Christ is coming to that understanding that I done messed up, didn't I, God? I need you to fix me. I need you to heal me. I trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. I put my life into your hands, and I will follow you. And that's what it means to be in Christ. We get into this relationship with Christ. We get in this relationship, a restored relationship with God. And part of that is having a new heart, and we need that new heart because our hearts have grown hard. There's an old saying that we know that diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? But they're also the toughest material on earth. And so I did some research on that, just a little bit of tidbit of truth for you. There are several elements that are actually harder than a diamond. But those elements have been created in labs, or they were found inside of meteorites. So they're not from our planet, so to speak. They're like Superman, I guess. But as far as natural elements to the Earth go, the diamond is the toughest natural element that you can find on the planet. And there's some scale, it's like the Mohs scale or Mohs scale, I don't know what it's called, but what it is the diamond is the most scratch-resistant, naturally found material. It's the toughest, and it's the hardest. It's hard to penetrate and break through. We even, the best way to work with a diamond is to cut it with lasers nowadays. Lasers. But that's how tough diamonds are. And I bring all this up because the prophet Zechariah, prophet that God used to talk to the Old Testament, to Israelite, revealed how dire our situation is. He said the Israelites are so resistant to God, they were so obstinate to obedience to him, that God says they made their hearts diamond hard. Ouch. There's nothing tougher than a diamond. And God says, that's what my own people have done. They've made their hearts that hard. And you and I have the potential to make our hearts diamond hard. And here lies the problem. We don't have the tools to fix it and to make it better. There's nothing we can soak it in to soothe it and bring it back to where it needs to be. And as we think about Jesus' death, I think about the promise of God through the prophet Ezekiel, and he says this: I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What is communion all about? It's about the fact that God sees the brokenness, the hardness of our heart, and that there's nothing that we can do about it, and he comes to replace it. Not replace it with another broken heart, but replace it with a new heart, a heart of flesh. And that's desperately what you and I need. And the only one that can do that for us is God. There's no one else that can do that. And that's God's promise to us, and it's exactly what's happening. We can try and fix our hearts, we can try and mend our hearts, but we can't soften them, and only God can do that. Pastor Brandon has a lot of amazing talents. Playing drums or preaching, and just his pastoral heart for people. But one of the things, among all these things and so many more, is his ability as an artist on so many different mediums. Wind chimes out of metal, ceramic things. But one of the beautiful things that he's done around the church is he's made artwork with broken skateboard pieces. And it's awesome. And he's done stuff that have taken like days to put together, which is a face of Jesus. And we have, a dove upstairs. And there's been so many different cool things. He's made artwork for some of you out of broken pieces of skateboards. And it's awesome. And he can take all these pieces, and he can color coordinate all these pieces, and he can put them together, and he can screw them together, and he can make some awesome art pieces out of that. And it's this reminder that even though something's broken, something beautiful can be made out of those. But you know what Brandon can't do with those broken skateboard pieces? He can't make it a functioning skateboard again. He can't take the broken pieces and go, well, here you go, slap some trucks and wheels on it and skate away on it. I mean, Brandon's great, and he's great at construction stuff, but I don't even think he would ride that skateboard. He can't do it. He can't put the broken pieces back into a whole skateboard again because they're broken. He can move all the pieces around and do cool things, but he can't ever make it what it was meant to be again. And that's how it is with our heart. We can move all the broken pieces around all we want. But if we don't invite God into our lives, if we don't welcome his purifying and refining process, if we don't accept his offer of a gift of a new heart, we can make all the resolutions we want, friends. But at the end of the day, we're just going to be rearranging the same broken pieces in our life. The joy of communion, the joy of this table before us, is that we need a new heart, we need a healer, and we need a savior, and that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. I will take out the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that's what we need. And as we get ready to take the first part of communion today, that's what I want to remind you of. We're going to pass the bread out, so the guys that are helping with communion, if you wouldn't mind coming forward. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, as you're waiting and as you get the bread, if you just hold it and we'll take it together as a church family. But I want you to reflect on, where have you been in your life? Where have you just been moving broken pieces around? Where do you need God to really come in and take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I want you to just pray about those things. I want you to be able to surrender yourself to Jesus and to ask him to come and give you a new heart. So as we're passing these out, if you would do that, and then when the men come back forward, just hold on to it and we'll say a prayer and take the bread together. Thank you, men. Church, as we take this bread, be reminded that the death and the resurrection of Jesus fulfills God's promise to give us a new heart. Let's take this joyfully as we thank him. Won't you pray with me? God, I thank you that this broken heart, this heart that I've messed up, this heart that I've darkened and tarnished and made diamond hard, God, you restore it with a new heart. Thank you for the power you have to do that. Thank you for the hope we have in you changing us. Lord, we take this bread being reminded that you became sin so that you could give us a new heart and we can become your righteousness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together, church. I know some of you are like, I need that juice now. That bread was dry. And we'll get there. But I want to continue to talk about this idea of a new year and a new us. And I want to read one more passage to you. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing this, and he's writing to the church about the Lord's Supper, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And I love this second aspect of communion, because we not only look back, but it looks forward to the promise that Jesus is coming again. So not only at the first point does God give us a new heart, second thing I want you to see is God gives us a new hope. A hope that we didn't have before. And we have hope in some things, but we have a hope in Jesus. That we take the bread and we take the juice, proclaiming his death until he comes. Meaning Jesus is coming back again, amen? It's on his timeline when he wants to do it, but he's going to come back. And so I love this aspect that as we come to this table, and it's not just bread and the juice, it's this past, present, and future. We look back to the past, that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay the price of our sins. Amen. We look to the present. God, I need you in my life here. I need you to do your transforming work because I'm still messing things up. And God is active in our present. And then we look to the future, because God has secured a home for us. And Jesus is coming back to take us with him. And that is good news. And I love the joy of that. And I love the joy that Peter writes to the church. He says this in 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you by God's power, who are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Amen. Man, if you could just hold on to that truth, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, that through Jesus, we have a living hope. We have an imperishable, undefiled, unfading treasure and home waiting for us in heaven. And at some point, we have this hope that Jesus is going to come back and take us to be there with him. And whether that happens in our lifetime or if our lifetime ends on this earth, we are going to go and be with him in that place. That's a confidence that we have in Jesus. That's a hope that we have in him. And I want you to let those words sink in, that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Star Wars. And this is for all you Star Wars nerds. I mean, fans or enthusiasts. If you're not, don't worry about it. But the first movie that was released was back in the 70s. And you all can tell me the date, if it was 76 or 77. That's irrelevant. But the first movie that was released was actually Chapter 4, not Chapter 1, which is weird, but okay, let's just go with it. It was Chapter 4, and the title of the movie was A New Hope. And you're like, okay, why? What happened to the old hope? Why do we need a new hope? It's kind of like when stores say our products are like, this product is new and improved. No, it's not. It's either new or it's improved. But it can't be new and improved, right? Because it's not the same. They're two different things. And so what happened that there needed to be a new hope? And so if you're a Star Wars junkie, you kind of know. But we had movies, chapters 4, 5, and 6 come out. But chapter 4 was a new hope. Later on, we had chapters 1, 2, and 3 come out. And chapters 1, 2, and 3 tell the story of Anakin. Anakin was so full of the Force that the Jedi's are like, there's a prophecy about one that's going to come and restore balance to the galaxy and balance to the Force, and Anakin is it. He's the guy. We fully believe he's the fulfillment of the prophecy. And they're getting all excited about it because they're seeing this prophecy come true. The problem is Anakin turned to the dark side. And he turned to the Sith, and he turned to the wrong side. And he joined with the Emperor. The Emperor made this order called Order 66 to kill all the Jedi in the galaxy. And Anakin was actively involved in doing that, so much so that he went to the Jedi Temple where all the young children were training to be a Jedi, and he killed all the children. So for any Jedi that are left, like, Anakin is our hope. Like, hope is shattered at that point. There's no hope in this guy. And if it's not him and we're so decimated, what good can possibly come from this? Chapter 4. A new hope. Hope wasn't Anakin. You were mistaken. There's a new hope. You and I in Christ Jesus have a new hope. But God, I thought I was going to get this, and I thought I was going to get that, and I saved up all my money, and I had all these things, and it crashed. And now what? Jesus is chapter 4, a new hope. Not only does God give us a new heart, he gives us a new hope. And that's the story of the faith in Christ. Not only does God take out our diamond-hard heart and restore a heart of flesh to us, he gives us a confidence and a security of a future with him and him constantly being with us in the presence. Confidence that no matter what happens in this life, nothing is going to make God fail towards us. It might not work out the way that you expected, but we have a living hope, undefiled and unfading in God through Jesus Christ. We have a home where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and he has gone to prepare a place for you. Amen. That's not a story to make you feel good. It's truth. It's confidence. It's the hope that I have that what happens in this world doesn't matter because Jesus has gone ahead and secured a place for me through his death and resurrection. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is an incredible chapter. We call it the Hall of Faith. And it just starts going through a lot of the Old Testament characters and how they lived lives of faith and did all these things. But right in the middle of that, there's this incredible part where it kind of lists about what happened to them. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Bummer, right? Like, they all died following God, not seeing the fulfillment of the promises of God. That's what he's saying. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. If they thought, well, the promise is going to be for me to go back to the land of Israel, and that's the hope, and that's the promise God has for me. If that was the promise, they could have simply turned around and driven back, camel rode back, or donkey rode back to Israel. They could have simply done that. But they knew that the promise of God was not about just that land. The promise of God was for a future. And so verse 16 says this, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. Man, when we come to the table, when we take the juice, we are celebrating that God has prepared a place for us. He has secured that place for you in Jesus Christ. There are some churches out now that I've seen stories about that they're selling plots of heaven, that you can buy your plot of heaven for thousands of dollars. And the sad thing is, there's two sad things. People are doing it. They're giving this church and this pastor thousands of dollars to get their place in heaven. And it hurts my heart because, like, he is not representing God correctly. Just as there's nothing you and I can do to replace our broken heart and our hardened heart, God's got to restore that. There's nothing you and I can do to secure our place in heaven. Only Jesus does that, and he has done that. The only way I get there is putting my faith in him and trusting him to do that. Jesus is coming back. And as we take the bread and the juice, not only are we reminded that God has forgiven our sin and given us a new heart, we're declaring our faith that one day he is coming back and he is going to take us home with him. Amen. And it's a future that we have with him. And it's awesome truth to celebrate. And so I want to have the men come forward as we get ready to take the juice. As we pass the cup, as I wanted you to just ponder and think about where you need God to restore your broken heart, this time I want you to celebrate. And I want you to thank God that, God, you have secured a hope for me in Jesus Christ. A living hope. A hope that is undefiled. A hope that is secure and in place. And as I drink this juice, I declare and I'm reminded that, Jesus, you are coming back for me. And so take time to celebrate God as we pass this out. I want you to pray with me, church. Father God, what a joy it is to be invited to this table by you, to be invited into relationship with you and fellowship with you, to be united to you. God, not only are we reminded of our hard-heartedness, but that you joyfully restore that heart and replace it with a new heart. And God, we're so thankful for that. But God, we also celebrate that through Jesus Christ, you have secured an eternal dwelling place for us with you for eternity. A place that's beyond our imagination or description. A place that is unfading and undefiled. A living hope. God, together we take this juice reminded that Jesus is coming back for us. Reminded of your faithfulness. And confident of the hope that we have in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Church, let's drink together. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're just going to sing a couple songs as we worship our Lord on the way out. New Year's is just a few days away. And I may have made a resolution never to make a resolution again. But maybe you do, and that's okay. I want to encourage you in this, that as you walk away from this table and you walk out of this room and you get to New Year's and you think about, what do I want to do different next year? I want you to think about, God, where do you want to work in my life this year? What do I need to do to follow you more? God, as you've given me a new heart, how do I keep this heart soft by following you? And come up with some plans for that. I also want to challenge you with this, church. God, as I come into this new year, who's one or two or three or five or 10 people that I would really love to see put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? God, I'm going to commit to praying for them. Lord, as I take this juice and I'm declaring that Jesus is coming back, I want to be faithful to go out to my friends and make sure that as I have a secure and confident hope in Jesus, that they too can have that as well. And as you make your resolutions, Lord, how do I grow in you? Lord, who do you want me to share with this year? And be committed to that for 2025 and watch the things that God can do. Let's be thankful that we have a God who gives us a new heart and a new hope. Amen, church.